Motzei Shabbat, as you know, Ashkenazim join our Sephardi brethren with the Slichot in the morning, which will carry us until Yom Kippur. It's interesting that the Sephardim, who have the minhag of saying Slichot the entire month of Elul, it's not brought down in the Rambam. Let's just take a note at source number 3 already. The Rambam tells us that the purpose of Aseret Yemei Tshuva is to help us tip the scale, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah is judging not just the individual and not just Am Yisrael, but humanity at large. V'chol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kivnei mahon, and we're familiar with this from the Ratana Tokev Kedushat Hayom. V'chol ba'ei olam ya'avrun lefanecha kivnei mahon. Every individual is being judged. What's interesting is that the Umot HaOlam, the nations of the world, don't have Rosh Hashanah. So there's something that Am Yisrael is concerned about regarding the nations of the world as well for Rosh Hashanah. We're interested in universal peace. We're interested in universal recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Malchiyot, the first of the three special brachot of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. We say Melocha Kol Olam Kulo B'Chodecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be universally recognized. Melech HaKol HaAretz B'Kadesh Yisrael B'Yom HaZikaron. And we're quite familiar with the pasuk that ends Aleinu L'Shabeach every day, each tefillah, Vayah Hashem L'melech HaKol HaAretz. That's the vision of the universal acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where finally Avraham Avinu gets the job done. Takes a few thousand years. Vayi ben Shem Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. We're here to pick up the slack, and we hope for the best. B'chol Bayi Olam, Ovin Lefanav Kifnei Marom, into universal. So the Rambam says that on Rosh Hashanah, Kadosh Baruch Hu puts every individual on the scale, puts the neighborhood on the scale, puts the country on the scale, puts the world on the scale. And it's a question of majority wins. Acharei Rabim Lahatot. If it tips to the scale of Zchut, you're in good shape. You get a year of life. If God forbid the other way, a person won't make it through the end of the year. But what if a person is exactly on the 50% line, Beinoni? So then you get overtime. And overtime, the Rambam explains, the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Now what's the statistical probability that all of Am Yisrael are going to be bidyuk exactly on the 50% line? It's actually nil, the statistical probability. No one, you could have an individual, you're talking about 13 point something million Jews, you're talking about the world population, there's going to be somebody who's going to be on the exact 50. Somebody always wins the lottery, even though the odds are pretty much against you. But how many? So you need this Aseret Yemei Tshuva for everybody because of a handful of people? The answer is nobody knows what's going on in the scale. And therefore, to consider yourself a big tzaddik is not healthy on Rosh Hashanah. It's not a healthy thing to do. Because then you don't take Yom Kippur seriously. And to consider yourself a Rosh is not healthy either. Because then you wouldn't take Yom Kippur seriously either. You'd say it's a lost cause. So Rambam recommends that because we do not know what's going on in the scale, that every individual views himself or herself as being on the 50% line, and to take Aseret Yemei Tshuva very seriously, that every mitzvah, everything, is going to tip the scale. So much so, the Vilna Gaon decided to move away from the common Ashkenazi minhag of delaying Birkat Kiddush Levanah until after Yom Kippur. And the reason is, Kiddush Levanah is supposed to be done b'simcha, and it can't be a greater moment of simcha right after Yom Kippur when you feel this overwhelmed that you receive slicha, mechila, kapara. So that's when we should do Kiddush Levanah. So the Gros said, no, we should do it before Yom Kippur. That might be the one mitzvah that's going to tip the scale. I mean, why wait till after Yom Kippur? You're obligated technically from Rosh Chodesh, even though we wait 3 days, but certainly in Aseret Yemei Tshuva, there's plenty of opportunities to do Kiddush Levanah. Matzah Shabbos Shuva. You can do Kiddush Levanah. No. So the Gros says, Chaval to delay this till after Yom Kippur, every mitzvah. And to that end, In the three lines at the end of source number three, it says, "Mibnei inyan zeh," because of this matter. Nagu kol, the matter, which matter? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tip the scales. Hopefully we tip the scales for during Aseret Meitshuvah, if we were Beinuni, if we were on the 50% line. Nagu kol Beit Yisrael, the minag is, Laharbot b'tzedakah masim tovim, v'lasok b'mitzvot, mirosh Hashanah, v'yom kippurim, yet mikol Hashanah. We upgrade our performance of tzedakah and general maaseh chesed, and performance of mitzvot in the Aseret Meitshuvah, more than the entire year. V'nagu kulam lakum b'layla. And our minhag is to get up at night. And I stress, at night. Basara yamim elu, in these 10 days, ulitpalel batei kenesiyot, and to go to shul and daven, b'divrei tachnunim b'kibushim, what we call slichot. Ad sheye'or hayom, till the break of dawn. According to the Rambam, the zman, the time framework of slichot, is not 9:30 in the morning, for the 10 o'clock minyan in the Shtiblach. That's not what it is. The Rambam says, Slichot is before the break of dawn. It ends with the break of dawn. I was walking home from Shul Leh Shabbat, so on Rehov HaShayarot, some of you even live on Rehov HaShayarot, before, between Rehov, Achish and Achim, there are all kinds of shuls in Katamon. Some are just small, I don't want to call them shtiblach because you mix it up with the real shtiblach. But they're real shtiblach, but they're Sfaradi shtiblach. And they're small shuls. They're not big edifices and so on. Just a little small building or half a building. There's a sign. So there's a lot of Sfaradi shuls around here also. So one of the Sfaradi shuls, there's a sign outside, and it gave the zmanim for slichot. And I almost flipped when it said 4:30 in the morning. That's the second minyan, minyan shendi. That's for those who overslept the 3:45 slichos. I mean, it's terrific. And they get up 3:45. So we lived in Be'er Sheva for 7 years. And because I was a Ram in the yeshiva there, and 80% of my students were Eidot HaMizrach, it obligated me to get up early and to say slichot, which I enjoyed very much. And not just enjoy it, but we didn't get up 4 in the morning. They you know, moved up the tefillah a half hour before. 3/4, it's not a half hour. But as far as them, it's an hour. In the hour before. And we said the slichot. So my kids at home, some of them became very accustomed to it. And I don't know why, dafke, two of my daughters latched onto it. One of my daughters, in Shalabim, told me last week, 4 in the morning, there's a minyan for slichot for Sfaradim in Shalabim, kibbutz Shalabim. And she goes to it. She's the only woman there. She said, what's the difference? She goes. And it's like amazing that you just get so attracted to these slichot, which are the same every day, and it's a very nice mangina, a nice song that also pulls you into it. This audience participation, chazan kahal, and so on. And the truth is, if I had to take a vote, I would go for the Sfaradi slichot with the Ashkenazi calendar.
That's what they do in
Levi. Yes, that's what they do in Levi. There was an attempt, just recently now by Rabbanei Tzohar, but this was done already by Rav Gisser, the Rav of Ofra, in Ulpana, to have some type of a Nusach Mishulav, an integrated. The problem with Nusach Mishulav is that everybody integrates the way they want, and sometimes it's heavier towards one of the Eidot and so on. But the idea was to give expression to both of the Nusachim for the Slichot, so that everybody feels comfortable, and sometimes nobody feels comfortable. But the idea is, where the choice is, in a school, do we have 2 Minyanim, or do we have 1 Minyan with a Nusach Mishulav? I happen to be in favor, there should be 1 Minyan with Nusach Mishulav. We actually tried it in Chashmonaim, and it turned out that the overwhelming, really, was just a handful of Sfaradim. It just didn't, they didn't like it. They prefer getting up at 5 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning with their parents, with their fathers, and then go say slichos. And we just left it at that. But there was an attempt, actually, to adopt the slichot of the Ulpana in Ofra. But the Rambam says slichot is Faseret Yemei Tshuva. There's no zecher, there's no reference here to Chodesh Elul. The tour, Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, which is the forerunner of Shulchan Aruch, so he already has that there's some yesh ke'ela, yesh shomim slichot ni chodesh elul. Now who is the tour of Yaakov ben Asher? The Asher is Rabbi Asher ben Yechiel, known as the Rosh. He's the tail end of the Rishonim. So we're talking about late 13th century. So his son, Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, is reporting that there are some communities out there who say Slichot until from Rosh Chodesh Elul. Where is he writing this? He's writing this in Spain. That means in Spain, 13th century, beginning 14th century, it still was not widely accepted. There are some, when you use that kind of a phrase, yesh keil, yesh, there are some. Beside the tour becomes the basis of Rabbi Yosef Karo's major work in life, monumental work in life, known as the Beit Yosef. And I always tell people here that if you met up with Rabbi Yosef Karo and give him a big yashar koyach for Shulchan Aruch, he most probably would have been insulted. Because Shulchan Aruch is his own abbreviated version, you know, for popular use. Shulchan Aruch, it's everything's on the table, you know, for those who can't really study in depth and go through all the various sources. The Beit Yosef is encyclopedic, and it's analytical. That's really Rabbi Yosef Karo's main source. And I always say, today Beit Yosef is dashkocha on burgers bars, you know, like a burger ranch. It's a hamburger. But Beit Yosef is the main work. But Rabbi Yosef Karo, in Shulchan Aruch, already adopts, look at source number four, Noagim lakum bashmorat loma slichot v'tachnunim mirosh chodesh elul v'eilech ad yom kippurim. So Rabbi Yosef Karo is already in the mode that everybody in the Sephardi world is saying slichot. Where his forerunner, Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, it was only yesh, there were some who did it. But the Rambam doesn't know from this at all. But the Ashkenazim, if you look at the Hey Gimel Hey Hagah, we just flipped now from Tzfat to Krakow in one flip of a second. Rabbi Moshe Issel is the Rabbah, in source number four. U'minhag b'nei Ashkenaz ein okay, that's not the minhag in Ashkenaz. Ela mi Rosh Chodesh ve'ela, from Rosh Chodesh Elul onward, matchilim litkoa achar tfilat shacharit. We blow shofar for Rosh Chodesh. Yesh mekomot shetokim kamken ba'arvit. At night time, I never saw that minhag. Ve'omdim ba'ashmoret, and we get up early, lomar slichot, ve'yom aleph shelifnei Rosh Hashanah. The Sunday, which means the Motzei Shabbos, Sunday, he doesn't know yet from Chatzot. The Ramah does not know from this business of midnight slichot. That's introduced even later. But the getting up early, ashmoret, is Sunday. Yom Rishon is the first slichot. Ve'im chal Rosh Hashanah bet o gimel, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Monday or a Tuesday, az matchilim yom aleph, the gimel is just erase it, shavua shelefanav, the week before. It's exactly our scenario this year. This year Rosh Hashanah comes out on Monday. So the idea is, and it's explained by the poskim, Ashkenazim want to get in at least 4 days of slichot before Rosh Hashanah. That's point number one. And point number two, always to start on Motzei Shabbos or on Yom Rishon. We'll see in a moment why. But so therefore, it's not static. It's but as far as it's static, it's all of Elul, 10 days of Yom Kippur. You have 40 days of slichot. But by Ashkenazim, it depends. If Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday, which it can, so then you get your 4 days in. That's the minimum: Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday being Erev Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbat, which it can, you get 6 days of Slichot before Rosh Hashanah, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If Rosh Hashanah comes out on Monday or Tuesday, so you get more. You get the whole week plus one. Like this year, we have 7 days because of Sunday, Erev Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah comes out Tuesday, you even get eight. You get Erev Rosh Hashanah becomes Monday. You have six plus two. So we have different days of Slichot. That's why the fat Slichot book, sometimes we don't say everything. You skip those last days that we're not saying Slichot. So why is it minimum 4 days? And 4 days, so say 4 days. No, we want to also start on Sunday, Yom Rishon. So the 4 days is because the Ashkenazim of all things picked up on the Rambam. Slichus is just Aseret Mei Tshuva. And what's interesting is that according to the Rambam, Slichot includes the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, includes Shabbat Tshuva. So you want 10 days, it's 10 days. Netto, brutto, any way you slice the pie, it's 10 is 10. So according to Sfaradim, according to the Rambam at least, according to the Rambam, not the Sfaradim today, the Rambam believed that Slichot was 10 days. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud, Tishrei. All 10 days. Ashkenazim had a problem with saying Slichot on 2 days Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom Tov, saying Slichot on Shabbat Shuvah, which is Shabbat, saying Slichot in such a long fashion on Erev Yom Kippur. What do Ashkenazim do on Erev Yom Kippur? Except for the Frankfurt Jewish community that repeats on Erev Yom Kippur the very, very long Erev Rosh Hashanah Slichus. but most other Ashkenazi communities have a very abbreviated slichot on Erev Yom Kippur. It's no more than 10 minutes. I mean, at the rate the Ashkenazi chazanim daven slichos in the weekday, it's a 10-minute geshef, and that's all. There's really, you can see, you feel it, that you've jumped, and you're finished. That's it. There's no tachnun on Erev Yom Kippur either. So the whole thing is very abbreviated. So there were chugim, there were circles in the Kabbalistic circles, where they fasted Aseret Yemei Teshuva. I didn't mean they fasted 10 days. It means they fasted in the daytime, but at nighttime they would eat. I mean, lahavil, like Ramadan. Of course, Ramadan, you only get 1 hour to eat during the nighttime. But here, they ate during the night, but nevertheless went through the daytime by fasting Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Having said that, there are 4 days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva that you cannot fast. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tov, you're not to fast. Shabbat Shuva, you're not to fast. And Erev Yom Kippur, you're not to fast. It's a mitzvah to eat. So what did they do? They took the 4 days of Slichot that would have been fast days that you cannot fast and moved it before Rosh Hashanah. That's how it originated. That they would fast 4 days before Rosh Hashanah almost to make up the 4 days that they won't be fasting in Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So Aseret Yemei Teshuva become expanded to 14 days. That was idea number one. Now comes idea number two. If we're going to start Slichot before Rosh Hashanah, it's always going to kick off after Shabbat. Now after Shabbat, according to the Ramah, means early morning, Sunday morning, Bashmarat HaBoker. And those who remember by heart some of the Pizmonim, those are the sections where the Chazan says stanza by stanza, and there's a refrain. One actually begins Bashmarat HaBoker. And one has to be very careful that if you understand the piyutim of the Slichot, not to make a fool out of yourself by saying an outright lie. I mean, I'll give you an example. Rav Shmuel Salant, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim in the 19th century, he already put parenthesis around the nusach of Hatarat Nedarim on Erev Hashanah. It says, Shimuna Rabotai Dayonim Mumchim. What are you mumchim? Don't say mumchim. Mumchim means expert dayanim. Because everybody's just doing it in front of Tom, Dick, and Harry and Shul. You have to get three people, sit down, and you read this nusach, and they three say mutalach mutako, mutalach mutalach, and so on. So they're not dayanim mumchim. So for this, we've deputized everybody, made them into dayanim. So Rav Shmuel Salant says, man, by gosh, you have so many averis already, you don't need to be called a shakran before Rosh Hashanah. They'll call them dayanim mumchim. So take out the word mumchim. So too, we have Bashmarat HaBoker, even in the Slichot that we say on the first Matzah Shabbos. So it's true that we've made a big deal about the first Matzah Shabbos Slichas, where we'll say in a minute where the Chatzot came in. But it even says Bezaakam, Bezaakatam, Beod Lail. You're screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu while it's still night. What about those who miss Slichot Matzah Shabbos and they go to Shul? There will be Shul saying Slichot at 7 in the morning and 7:30 in the morning, and they're going to be saying Bezaakatam Beod Lail, screaming while it's still nighttime. It either indicates they don't know what they're saying, so it they're not moved by this problem, or they just gloss over it. And they sit in the Slichas book from London, from Rabbi Rosenfeld, from Yitzhak Rosenfeld. He has an alternate text with an asterisk. He says, for those who are davening later, substitute this instead of that. And that's simply not to make you into an outright liar. So he does this for this purpose. But the answer isn't to say slichas at 7:30 in the morning. The answer is to say slichas be'od laila, when it's the laila. When it's the laila outside, that's when it is. So what does the Matzah Shabbos have to be? Matzah Shabbos really means Yom Rishon. First day, which is going to, and the idea that the Slichot has been arbitrarily moved back before Hashanah to accommodate those Tzaddikei Olam who were fasting Aseret Yemei Teshuva, now creates a new scenario that while from the Rambam it's clear that Slichot is a Yom Kippur concern, it's one of those things we do to tip the scale from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So there's upgraded Tzedakah, Masim Tovim, and Isuk B'Mitzvot, more involvement in Mitzvot, and getting up at night, late at night, and saying this extra tefillah. It's all part of the package. Where he said in the end of source number 3, clearly this is all in preparation of Yom Kippur. But now that we've moved Slichot back before Rosh Hashanah, so you can say, you know, listen, it's still for Yom Kippur preparation, and I'm certainly not denying that. And this was just a technicality that we're saying it before Rosh Hashanah to make up for the 4 days that we are not allowed to fast in the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. But I think something else happened. By insisting that Slichot would always begin on Sunday, no matter what, which then says, you're either going to have 4 days of Slichas, 6 days of Slichas, 7 days of Slichas, or 8 days of Slichas, this now created an idea that Slichot is also in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, not only for Yom Kippur, which is the title of the Shir, Slichot Kahachana L'Rosh Hashanah. This would never have happened had we just gone along with the four before Rosh Hashanah, and everybody would have understood. It's really the four of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, those 4 days that we can't fast. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat Teshuva, and Erev Yom Kippur. Nobody would have entertained the thought that this is also in preparation of Rosh Hashanah. Now that we've taken that four, and we said, well, maybe it's six, or maybe it's seven, maybe it's eight, depending on which day Rosh Hashanah falls out. And this year it falls out on a Monday, and you don't have 4 days before Yom Rishon, so therefore go back a whole week, which we're going to do, suggests that there's something about Yom Rishon which tells us something about Briyat HaOlam, creation of the world, which has something to do with Slichot in preparation for Rosh Hashanah as well. And let's try to examine that. Jumping to the top of the page, source number 1, the very notion that halacha has regular tefillah and has special tefillah. Yeshayahu Navi, Perek Aleph, which is Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, Asher Chazal Yudav Yishalayim, Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. So there, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Am Yisrael through the mouthpiece of Yeshayahu Navi that when you daven, I'm going to ignore it. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu says. There's a whole slew of things. Lamali rov zivchechem. Who needs the extra korbanot? Savati elim. I'm so satiated with all the animals you're bringing. I don't need this. You're coming for Yashavas Yom Tov. Ramos chatzera. You're trespassing on my grounds. I mean, it's like, I don't need you. It's a terrible indictment. And among other things, and when you daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not there, Kadosh Baruch Hu says. You're talking to the walls. I mean, they say, you know, why do many times the kallah before wedding gets photographed by the kotel? So, you know, in the text to daven, because she has to get used to talking to the wall. I always tell the chosen kallah that's not a joke. I told the kallah that. Talking to the wall. So that's what it means. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not there. Hester Panim. Fariskem kapechem. So even though there's a Gemara that actually interprets this halachically as Birkat Kohanim, but it's in Tanakh from the Pshat, it's a gesture of tefillah. Ve'efros et kapai. Sefer Shmot, in the beginning. Moshe Rabbeinu davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu says ve'efros et kapai. Lifting up of the hands. This is a gesture of tefillah. So Yeshayahu says, when you raise your hands in tefillah, alim einayim yikem, I'm going to ignore it. Gam ki tarbu tefillah, and even if you add tefillah, and any shomei, I'm not even going to pay attention. Yadechem damim aleihu, your hands are soiled with blood. So the Yerushalmi, Masechet Brachot, source number 2 says, minayin ni'ila. Ni'ila is mistakenly identified as a tefillat Yom Kippur. It's a tefillah of Tanit Tzibur. Yom Kippur happens to be a class A example of a Tanit Tzibur. And the proof is that in the days that there was extra tefillot in Eretz Yisrael because of drought, there were add-on and upgraded fast days, series of fast days, included Nila. Because Nila is a tefillah that basically closes the day of tefillah that began from whether the morning or the night before and makes it into one longer expression of tefillah. And of course, the question is, how come we don't have Nilan on Tisha B'Av, which is also a bona fide Tanit Zibur? That's a shear for Tisha B'Av and the other fast days. Why we don't do it formally? But the Gemara says that most of the year, people used to daven Mincha not a minute before sundown, but just daven earlier, the time that they would offer the afternoon korban in Beit Mikdash, korban tamid sheben arbayim, approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. Some people even davened earlier than that. We call Mincha Gedolah, which today is 1:10, 1:15 in the afternoon. But on Tanit Zibur, they always davened Mincha late. That was a characteristic of a Tanit Zibur, and it had the flavor of Nila. That's why we have Birkat Kohanim for Nila, for Mincha on a Tanit Zibur, because even on Yom Kippur we don't have Birkat Kohanim for Mincha. We have it for Nila. And Nila, we have Birkat Kohanim in Yom Kippur, and we have Birkat Kohanim for Mincha on a Tanit Zibur when it's late. Because if you have Mincha Gedolah earlier, there is no Birkat Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Minayim leNila, how do you know that there's a concept of Nila, an extra Tefillah? Amar Rav Levi, the Amora Rav Levi says, Gam ki tarbu tefillah, mikan shekol hamarbe betefillah naneh. You see this concept of adding tefillah. So slichot is also an add-on. Remember the Rav gave an understanding of three different levels of communicating with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. One is simply an animal shriek, just like an animal in danger would shriek. And the Rav cited Psukim in Parshat Shmot, where Am Yisrael, their senses were dulled through because of slavery. And with the coming of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a certain awakening, and Vayiz'aku. It doesn't mean they said anything, but there was a shriek of an animal, which already is an awakening call. So that's one level. And then this formal tefillah, which is words, where you understand what you're saying. The Rav said there's an intermediary stage, what we call slichot. Because slichot, on the one hand, is a highly charged emotional type of tefillah, yet it also has words. It has structure, but it's flimsy structure. It's not as structured as a formal tefillah of Shacharit, Mincha, and Arvid. It's quasi-structured, pseudo-structured. But it has some structure to it, but it's like jellyfish a little bit. It's not formalized 100%. But we do say a Kaddish with Tidkabel after Slichot, which tells us it's a formal tefillah in any case. But it just doesn't have that formality that the other tefillot have. So the Rav said it's a cross between true tefillah and true za'aka, something in between. And the truth is, that's why even though many of Am Yisrael, especially of the Ashkenazi persuasion, do not understand the piyutim, apparently that's less critical. The fact that we know that the piyutim is a setup for Shlosh Esrei Midot, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun, which is the core, nucleus part of the Slichot, that's good enough. And people say the piyutim with or without understanding or with marginal understanding, but they understand that they're being prepared to say the Shlosh Esrei Midot, and they say that with Kavanah, and therefore there's certainly a fulfillment of Slichot. And that's, if you look at source number 5, Vayavar Hashem al Panav Vayikra, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmalei Mikra Katuv Yiv Shalom Ro. Without this pasuk, we wouldn't be able to say the following. Melameit Shinitatef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu draped himself with a talus like a chazan. And from this, by the way, is the minak, that even at night time, where there's, and Slichot we said, defined it as a nighttime tefillah. At nighttime there's no tzitzis. We know there's no tzitzis. And that's why in many, many communities, the chazan does not wear a talit for Mayriv in a weekday setting. Some shuls do have it, but it's not chovah, it's not obligatory. But for Slichot, whether it's midnight, whether it's even later in the nighttime, the chazan does wear a talus, and it becomes a whole issue of with the bracha on the talus, his talus, a bar talus, whatever. But the issue is he wears a talus. Why? Because the shliach tzibur is playing a role of a kadosh baruch hu here. Melamed shitatef a kadosh baruch hu kishliach tzibur. Ve'heralo leMoshe said that tefillah, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu when things go wrong. Whip out the Shlosh Esrei Midot and things will correct themselves. Amar lo, kol zman Yisrael chotim, whenever Am Yisrael sins, ya'asu lefanai kaseder azeh. They should do for me like exactly this order. V'ani mochel lohem, and I will forgive them. Hashem Hashem, why does it say twice God's name? Ani hu kodem shiyechet ha'adam, v'ani hu la'achar shiyechet ha'adam, v'yaseh tshuva. I am the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? That if a person sins and does tshuva, his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go back to where it originally was. Chadesh Yemeinu Kedem, the way it was. And he shouldn't feel that his relationship is stained and marred for the rest of his life. You can reverse, you can turn the clock back on this. That's what tshuva is all about. And then the Kel Rachum V'Chanun, it goes on, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Brit Kruta L'Shloshe Semidot, She'inan Chozrot Rekam. They're not, you're never going to have an empty response. There's something's going to come out of it. She'ne'mar, Hinei Onochi Koret Barit. And this Gemara is a proof text for Balei HaTosafot that Hashem, Hashem, the two names of God, are already two of the 13. We say Shlosha Sre Midot. Now we know Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Hapayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzach Chesed L'Alafim, Nosei Avon V'Chesha, V'Chata'a, V'Nakei. Stop. But that's in the middle of a phrase. It says V'Nakei, Lo Yenakei, Pochei Avon Avonot, Avonim V'Ashreshim V'Arim V'Zalach Tel Avoneinu. Where does it end? So if you open up a Gemara of Rav Steinsaltz, Masechet Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin, where this Gemara appears, he has a chart, very, very useful chart, where he shows 9 different opinions how to slice the pie. How to take all these psukim of Hashem Hashem Kerachum V'Chanun and divide it into 13. And he writes at the end that this chart reflects most of the shitot. Most, 9. So it's 9 out of what? 10, 9 out of 11, 9 out of 12. Why didn't you print the rest of them? He ran out of page. It was the end of the daf. That's all. The printer said, no, die. That's it. So he could not print any more. So there might be another 2 or 3. And Rav Steinsaltz just indicates the chart is not all-inclusive. There are more splittings than what I have up here on 9. We do it the way Tosfot. You can see there. It says Tosfot and a few others. I think Rabbeinu Chananel. That's the split that we have. The Rambam appears twice on the list. Once in the Mar Nevuchim, once in the Tshuva, and it's 2 different splits. The Rambam has 2 different splits of how to split up the Hashem Hashem. Some say Hashem Hashem is just introductory. It begins with Kael, Aleph Lamed. Some say it begins with the word Rachum. Some say the first Hashem doesn't count, the second does count. Some say Rachum v'Chanun is one. Some say Rachum is separate, Chanun is separate, and so on. And some take it all the way to V'salachta Lavoneinu Chatoteinu Chatanu. You ever notice whenever we say Tachtun with Shloshes Remidot or Slichot, after we say Hashem Hashem Ker Rachum v'Chanun, Erech Hapayim Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzach Chesed L'Alafim, Naseh Avam V'Vesha, V'Chata V'Nakei, V'salachta Lavoneinu. Why do we say that? What we do is we've paskin, we've decided like Tosfot, and we say the 13. But we give expression to the fact that the Shloshes Remidot could actually carry on until V'salachta Lavoneinu L'chatoteinu L'chatanu. So we say V'chule, 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 etc., 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 V'salachta Lavoneinu. That's what we're really doing. We're giving expression to the fact that the Shloshes Remidot maybe did not come to an abrupt ending with the word V'nakei, but it does continue, and therefore we'll use the last possible example of the last the 13th Midah according to somebody. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fill in the blanks for us if indeed those other views are really in the halakha. But nevertheless, these are the Shloshes Remidot that we should be saying, we are saying, and that's really the core issue of the Slichot. So why do we do it on Yom Rishon? Why do we do it on Yom Rishon? And where did the Chatzot come in? And how could all this be viewed as a hachana, a preparation for Rosh Hashanah? So number one, the framework of Slichot, as we have it today, is a product of the late period of the Geonim, about 1,200 years. But like everything else in Halacha, like the Agadah Shel Pesach, things evolve. Things evolve, and usually things are added on, not deleted. You know, it's whatever was, and now we pump in some more material. That's the way we do things. So if you look at source number 6, this is a Mishnah, the Mishnah. When there were fast days because of drought in Eretz Yisrael, and in those fast days, the Shliach Tzibur would add 6 extra brachot to the Shmoneh Esrei, and 4 of the 6 were prakim of Tillim, and 2 were prakim of somewhere else, but they all had endings. So look at the endings of these 6 brachot. Al Rishana hu omer, Mi shana at Avraham Avinu b'har Moriah, hu yaneh etchem v'yishma b'kol tza'atchem hayom hazeh, Baruch Hashem, Goel Yisrael. Al Shnia, the next bracha, who omer, Mishana Tabotenu al Yamsuf, who Yanet Chem Mishma Kolza Katchem Yomaze, Bochat Hashem, Zocher Nishkachot. On the third, Al Shlishit omer, Mishana Yeshua Bagdilgal, who Yanet Chem Mishma Kolza Katchem Yomaze, Bochat Hashem, Shomea Trua. On the fourth bracha, who omer, Mishana Shmuel Bamitzpah, who Yanet Chem Mishma Kolza Katchem Yomaze, Bochat Hashem, Shomea Tzaka. On the fifth, Mishanat Eliyo Bahar Carmel, Uyanetchem, and so on, Rochat Hashem Shomayat Filah, and top of the next page, Al Shishit, on the sixth bracha, Mishanat Yonah Bimei Hadaga, Uyanetchem, Yishma Kol Tzakatchem, Rochat Hashem, Aoneh Beitzara, Al Shviit, what do you mean Shviit? Didn't I just say there was six brachot? How do we get to the seventh? The answer is that the first is not the extra, it's the bracha of Goel Yisrael. You know, when we have Shliach Tzibur today on a fast day, and we add Aneinu, so when we say Aneinu in private Shemon Esrei, we say it in Shema Tefillah. Before you say Kiyata Shema Tefillah Kol Peh or Kiyata Shema Tefillah Tam Chayso Brachamim, we say Aneinu Hashem Aneinu B'yom Tzom Taneinu, and there's no ending because it ends with Baruchat Hashem Shema Tefillah of that bracha of Shema Koleinu. But the Chazan says it in Shemon Esrei in the Chazarat Hashatz as an extra bracha between Goel Yisrael and Rifa'enu. There he says Aneinu Hashem Aneinu, and he has an ending Baruchat Hashem Ho'oneh Lamo Be'et Tzara. This is an ending, formal ending. So that's the place where extra brachot for fast days were kicked in, as they were done in Eretz Yisrael when they added the sixth bracha. But the bracha that initiates the adding is a regular bracha of Shmon Esrei. It's Re'ena Ve'onyenu V'Riva Rivenu U'Galeinu Mehera L'man Shmeachna Ki'ikel Goel Chazakata. But normally we say Baruch Hashem Goel Yisrael. But on a fast day, they would say Mishanat Avraham Ba'ara Moriah Hu Yaneh Etchem Bishma B'kol Tzakatchem Baruch Hashem Goel Yisrael. So this becomes an expanded bracha number 7 of Re'ena Vanyenu. So when the Mishnah says Ala Shniya, the second, that's the first of the extra. So when it says Ala Shvi'it, the seventh, it's the sixth of the extra. Hu omer Mishanat David ve Shlomo beno Yerushalayim, hu yaneh etchem bishma bekol tzarkatchem yom hazeh, brochat Hashem amarachem al haaretz. Does this all sound familiar? When we say Aneinu Hashem Aneinu, right? And then we say Mishana. There's a whole section. So we don't have the chatimot, we don't have the endings of Baruch Ata Hashem. But the core, the one who answered Abraham in this calamity, and the one who answered Shmuel in that calamity, the one who answered Yonah in his chaotic mess in the gefilte fish. That was the first gefilte fish. I actually suggested this, by the way. They were planning to open up a biblical aquarium as an adjunct to the biblical zoo. So I said they should have a picture of Yonah b'mei Hadaga and entitled it Hadaga Mule HaRishon, the first gefilte fish. Right. They actually like the idea. I need an artist now to pull it together. But and I'll say another point. Mishanat Avraham Avinu Bahara Moriah. Remember, I was teaching in the Emunah College many years ago, so the young ladies were doing fine art and graphic art and doing wonderful things. But I used to give interesting assignments because I was teaching Jewish art. And one of the things that I loved to do was illuminated manuscripts. Illuminated manuscript simply means a siddur that has drawings. But I'm not talking about flowers. I'm talking about interpretations. A chumash, a Megillat Esther, that has illuminated pictures that illuminate the text. And if you do something like that, or Agadash HaPesach for that matter, you have to be a parshan. You have to know what you're explaining. If you do a Kedat Yitzhak, you better take a position. How old is your Yitzhak in the picture? Is he going to be Rashi's 37-year-old? Is he going to be a Ben Ezra's 14-year-old? Maybe he's going to be a 5-year-old? How old is Yitzhak at the Akedah? That's a machloket. It's a big machloket. And it will impact on how you draw him. But more so, what kind of Avraham Avinu are you going to have at the moment before, the split second before the Malach calls out and says, stop? But what kind of Avraham Avinu? Is he going to be a Bratzlava of Ivdu at Hashem B'Simcha? Or is he going to be a Soren Kierkegaard of fear and trembling? Which one are you going to take? So you have to pick. You can't make them both. But from here is a proof, as the Rabbi always pointed out, that Kierkegaard was right. He's a goy. A Swedish philosopher, Christian philosopher. The Rebbe used to quote him often on fear and trembling. Chil u'ra'ada in Hebrew. The idea of Avraham Avinu was in a tremendous religious predicament here. Because doing, he had to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to do. But doing this was precisely against everything that he taught. Everything. It didn't make sense. The whole thing didn't make sense. And the Rav said, that was the Nisayon. Are you prepared to do something that doesn't make sense? L'man Hashem. A lot of things don't make sense. A lot of things don't make sense. To us, even smaller things don't make sense. But to Avraham Avinu, this didn't make sense. And he's willing to do it. Willing to surrender his whole self, his whole logic, his whole common sense, everything he's willing to surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the Nisayon. So you see from here that Kierkegaard was right. Mishanat Avraham Avinu Bahara Moriah. He's petrified. He's yelling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bail me out of this situation. How am I going to walk away from this Akedah? So he was in deep trouble. Deep trouble of Avraham Avinu at this moment. But we see from this indication of the source of the Mishnah that the very, very core of Slichot takes us back to this language. And we many times, to the tail end of Slichot, after Shamnu Bagadnu, which some of us say three times, the Gra said to reduce it to one time, by the way, and it's a good idea because many of us say Shamnu Bagadnu, we're in high gear already, right? It's you push the button and it's just going, so why do it three times, you know? If it doesn't have much value the first time, why go through it two more times? The Gra says, once is enough. And then, you know, you have two more pages, three more pages in the Slichos book. Chazan's not saying anything. No more Ptichat Aron. It's everybody on their own now, you know, speeding away. That's what you hear at shul. And who takes the pain to stop and say, Mishanat Avraham Avinu Bahara Moriah Hu Ya'anenu, and think for a moment, a split second, what was Avraham Avinu going through? What was Yoina going through at that moment that he realized, hey, I'm still alive. If I'm still alive, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me dead yet. And maybe I still have something to do. And maybe I should have gone to Nineveh. Give me a chance, I'll go back to Nineveh. It's a tremendous story, Yonah. But we say it so fast. We miss the whole point of the Slichos. The Sfaradim say these things very slowly. Very slowly. They sing it. Right? It's a better Slichos. So it was already the Kabbalists, brought down in the Shlach Kadosh, but I think it's earlier than that, that for Slichot, instead of Ashmorat HaBokeh, as the Rambam talked about, maybe Chatzot would be a better moment. And this is a Kabbalistic idea, that from sundown until midnight, it's not Eit Ratzon. It's not the time you want to cut into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bother him with your problems. But after Chatzot, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all ears. And it starts with Dovra Melech, that Chatzot Laila Akum Lecha, and the whole story of his alarm clock, his kinor that was hanging, and the wind blew a few notes, and he woke up, and he began saying Shirot to Tishpachot, and Tfilot, and Tzillim, and so on. But the Gemara says it in different places. That Chatzot is a special moment. The whole concept of Tikkun Chatzot was born around this idea. So that's why the Kabbalists felt that Slichot, the better option would be Chatzot. And they weren't talking about just Motzei Shabbat, by the way. They were talking about every night of Slichot. It should be said at Chatzot. And as is with many, many minhagim, things have its own history and dynamics, that Am Yisrael latched on to the Chatzot for the first night. And then the rest of the Slichot, whatever you say it early in the morning, whatever early is is considered early. But the first night Chatzot. And even that became watered down within recent years because people stopped going to shul at midnight. I remember we moved to Borough Park in 1962, my father's Chayim Lebracha said that Moshe Kosovitsky is not getting any younger. You know what? He was right. He was right. And he was then 62 years old, Moshe Kosovitsky. He died in 1966. He was 66 years old. And Cholof in, I was at Kosovitsky's Levaya in Borokha. So we would go to hear Kosovitsky for Slichas on Motzei Shabbos. Now, that Slichas started at 1 in the morning. Rabbi Shor, Zecharon Lebracha, the Rav, gave a drasha about 20 minutes, because Chatzot was about 1:20, summertime, whatever. And we didn't walk out of Bethel till 4 in the morning. And nobody walked out. The shul had 1,700 people. The only difference between Ol Nechama for Slichas and Bethel is that Bethel, everybody got a seat, all 1,700. The 1,000 people are going to come this Matzah Shabbos. If you want a seat this Matzah Shabbos for Yitzhak Meir, you better come right after Abdullah and get a seat. And that's where it was. Last year, I mean, I wasn't there. It was the night before my father's Levaya. But it was 1,000 people. It was a fire hazard. I think we're going to have to correct that situation this year. But anyway, question is, Vitsky, when he got towards the end, nobody left. He's got two more pieces to do. Aneinu, Mitratza Barachman. These are classic Chazonis pieces. And nobody leaves. Who left? I don't leave. I'm shaking. But it started Chatzot Laila. So this was the minhag. But in recent years, the Chatzot became 11, 10:30, 10. And I remember when Moshe Kozlovitsky died in 66, you know, in Bar Park, everybody was thirsty for top Chazanut. Now, Moshe's brother davened the block and a half away, David Kozlovitsky, Oliver Shalom. But it was a conservative shul. So we had a problem. Yeah, a problem recognizing it as a shul and so on. Exceeding. So, you know, a Yiddish cup, there was a pitaron. There was a Temple Emmanuel used to be Orthodox shul years before. So it had a gallery upstairs, had a balcony. But it was there were very few members that could fill up the shul. So the men and women who came to Temple Emmanuel sat downstairs. The balcony was empty. So the idea was, let's go up to the balcony and we'll listen to Slichas. Nobody's going to daven Slichas Chalila in this setting, right? 10 o'clock at night. Lubitz Kozlovitsky said Slichas at 10 o'clock at night. Everybody said this is a conservative shul. They can say at 10 o'clock. You know, they make a difference. And he'll daven Slichas for 2 hours. And then 12:30, go across the street to Shtibel. So because you have to daven Slichas, you know, for another 20 minutes. And upgedavent, as we say. So the shul there, this Temple Emmanuel, they got smart. They said, if you come downstairs, it's free. If you go upstairs, it's $5. So they charge $5 for going upstairs. Why? Because they knew you're only coming for a concert. Concert, you can charge money. If you're coming to daven, there's no charge. The place was packed with Streimlich, don't ask. Packed. Everybody knew. Word of mouth. You can go upstairs, pay $5. You go to Kozlovitsky for 2 hours. A concert, Slichas concert. Call it whatever you want. Slichas concert. That's how thirsty people were for Chazanut. The Motzei Shabbos, the central pizmon begins b'motzei menucha kidamnucha tchila hat aznecha ushma lishmoa elarina velatfila. Right, so remember the Chazonim? They do it around the block here too, in the great synagogue. Lishmoya, lishmoya, elarina, right, the whole thing. Fine. And Marakwe says, how come the Chazonim always make long pieces when people are standing, when they do Ptichat Aron? Why don't they do long pieces when people are sitting?
You know? I sit
there. You say, yeah, sure, because I Halakha is very clear. There's no chiyuv to stand if the Aron Kodesh is open. The chiyuv to stand if the Sefer Torah is in motion. That's why I say this, I make an announcement in Shul for Nila, anybody, because we have the Aron open, the hoax in Nila. I say, anybody wants to sit down, you know, it's on me. It's on me. No problem. Sit down. People are weak. They're tired. You don't have to stand the whole nila. No chiyuv. And you don't have to. But all right, the minig is you jump up. Anan smears, you jump up. Fine. Okay. But there's no need. There's absolutely no halacha. Only when Sefer Torah is in motion. That's why Sefer Torah is on the shulchan. That's called betnucha. You can sit down during laning. But until they put the Sefer Torah on the shulchan, you have to remain standing. This is a big problem the Rav said with Simchas Torah. Because a lot of times you have a kafod for an hour and a half, and people are sitting around the shul, you know, not particularly dancing. So you're not allowed to do that. If you want to sit down, go outside. Because if you're gonna be in when the Sefer Torah is in motion, so the Rav actually had a different minhag in Boston. He would put all the Sefer Torah on the table. They did that kafos with Sefer Torah, each seven a kafod. Then they put the Sefer Torah on the table, and then they would sing whatever, so that people there shouldn't be a mikshal of sitting while the Sefer Torah is in motion. But anyway, the issue of Motzei Shabbos, b'motzei menucha, which means on Motzei Shabbos. So this already doesn't sound like a 4:30 in the morning. This sounds already more like a chatzot. It's Motzei menucha, because people would extend their Suda Shlishit, especially in the Hasidic world, till 11 o'clock at night. They wouldn't have marv Motzei Shabbos. They say bells. The Masoret was that the fires of Gehenna were on vacation on Shabbat and wouldn't start until after Shabbat. So they would the guard of Gehenna would always ask out, did they make Havdalah yet in bells? Because that was the place that made Havdalah, the last ones. And why did they do it? They said to keep the fires down for another few hours. So Matzah Shabbos, the Malka is always called, is considered a Sudat Shabbat, by the way. Malka is not just after Shabbat, it's Malava de Malka. You're escorting the queen, which means there's something of Shabbat and Matzah Shabbos. And that was the objection of some people from saying Slichot earlier before Chatzot, not because of Eight Ratzon, the Kabbalistic idea. That's a problem on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as well, if you consider it a problem. Because the Halacha never made such a comment. The Halacha thinks that you can daven at 10 p.m. like you can daven at 10 a.m. So there's no issue of Eight Ratzon. This Eight Ratzon is a Kabbalistic idea. So if you buy into that, it makes no difference if the issue is Matzah Shabbos, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, then you wouldn't say Slichot until midnight, till Chatzot. But there's another issue of Matzah Shabbos that Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with, and that is it appropriate to have Tachnunim on Matzah Shabbos? Because it's the Zman of Malava Malka. There's still a spirit of Shabbat going on there. So the bottom line is that he allows it in a bidyevit, if the rabbi thinks that people wouldn't come to Slichos later, he allows it even then. But you see that there's this objection on the Matzah Shabbos that we should keep it from saying Tachnunim on Matzah Shabbos. So what's the story about Matzah Shabbos? Let's take a look at source 7. And how this could be preparation for Rosh Hashanah. D'tanya, it reads in the Braita, Masechet Pesachim, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shnei Dvarim Alu B'machshavah Liberot B'Erev Shabbat. There were two more things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create on Friday afternoon before the end of creation. V'lo Nivru'u Ad Motzei Shabbat. But they were created actually after Shabbat. U'B'motzei Shabbat Natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu De'a Ba'adam HaRishon Me'ein Dugma Shel Ma'ala. In human intelligence, practical, Deya means practical intelligence. There's Chokhmah, Bina, and Da'at. Chabad. Chokhmah, Bina, Da'at. Chokhmah is absolute knowledge, encyclopedic knowledge, what you store in the head. Bina is analytical ability, what Chazal called Lomed Davar Mitoch Davar. Deya means practical application. That's why the section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with practical halacha is called Yoreh Deya, because it's practical application. So practical application was taught to Adam Rishon on Motzei Shabbat. And one of the examples was, Hevi Shtei Avanim, V'Tokanan Zubazu, Kadosh Baruch Hu had him take two stones and rub them to each other. The friction caused, V'Yatzah Mehen, Ur, not Or, Ur, means fire. He learned how to play with fire. And Kadosh Baruch Hu taught him on Motzei Shabbos that this fire is going to be a very important, useful for man. You can build a great world with the energy of fire, but just be careful. You can burn down the whole world with the energy of fire. You know how we say on Tisha B'Av, Ki Ata Hashem in Nachim, Be'esh Hitzata, U'Be'esh Atid Livnota. Fire brought the Beit Mikdash down, fire's going to bring it up again, because it means electricity, and so on. But there's a Masoret, that Bayit Shlishi is Me'esh Min Hashamayim. So, is Eish the medium of good or bad? Eish is parava. It's not milchiks, it's not fleishiks. It's what human beings do with it. And that's what the first lesson that Adam Rishon learns on this Motzei Shabbat. So Motzei Shabbat is very important because he becomes a fully intelligent individual. And that intelligence is measured by decision making. And decision making has to do with freedom of action. Bechira chofshit. This becomes a Motzei Shabbos concern. So at source number 8, it says, Sefer HaManhig, late Middle Ages, V'zeh she'mishorim b'chol gvul Yisrael, that which we sing throughout all communities of Israel, me'Eliyahu HaNavi, we have Eliyahu HaNavi songs on Motzei Shabbos, l'fi shehu ha'mevaser she'yavo lanu b'meirah l'fnei Mashiach, we have a tradition that he will emerge and announce the coming of Mashiach, as it says, "Kedachtiv hinei anochi sholech lachem et Eliyahu Hanavi lifnei bo yom hagadol vanora." Ukvar muftach lehem b'Yisrael. There's a tradition she'ein Eliyahu Hanavi ba ba'arvei Shabbatot v'yom tov. Why? That Eliyahu Hanavi will never show up on Friday or an erev yom tov. Why? Now Torah, it's going to be pandemonium in everybody's house. They're not going to be able to handle it. It's Shabbos. Now you bother me with Eliyahu Hanavi and Mashiach. So it's going to wait till after Shabbos. Kedita, as it says in Masechet Eruvin, v'yavo lanu hamavaser b'motzei Shabbat. The first opportunity would be on Motzei Shabbos. Shebeschut Shabbat, because of the schut of Shabbat, hatzur Hashem yoel uva l'tzion goel. That is an interesting pasuk. That this will be as a result of Shabbat. Shabbat will give Am Yisrael that opportunity to hear the good news that Mashiach is on its way. And that's why we sing Elio Navi Elio Tishbi on Motzei Shabbat. So you see that there's something about the quality of Motzei Shabbat that has to do with the big turnaround, and it's related to the creation of the world. Hello, you have 6 days, you have Shabbat, and now the world really continues in the hands of human beings. What's Rosh Hashanah if not that? The Rosh Hashanah who created the world, and now it's in our hands to do something with it. So this is a flashback to that Rosh Hashanah, and we want to come into Rosh Hashanah properly. So in the Yalkut Shemoni, the Medrash, source number 9, it says, Amar Rav Katina, Shita Alfe Shni Havi Alma, B'chad Charuv. The world's going to be 6,000 years. The 7,000 years is going to get destroyed. Don't worry about it, right? We're not going to live to see this. And that's only one opinion anyway, right? And we don't exactly know what this means. Amar Rav Levi, HaMizmor Hazeh Adam Rishon Amar. Which Mizmor? Is referring to Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. Adam Rishon composed Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. I don't know if he had it with Kalbach's Nigin or not, but with the English parts that go along with Kalbach's Nigin. Paga Adam Rishon B'Kayin. Adam Rishon meets up with Kayin. Amar lo, Ma Naseh B'Dincha? What are you going to do with you? Well, you killed Hevel. And according to Chazal, that happened already on the Yom Shishi, on the sixth day of creation. Because the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, that Yom Shishi is an action-packed day. You can make a movie just on what happened on Yom Shishi. Every hour is mapped out what went on. And one of them was that Kayin already murders Hevel. So Amalei, Asiti Tshuva V'Niftarti. I did Tshuva, says Kayin. And by the way, one of the Slichot, I believe we say it on some Gedalia, Horeti Derech Tshuva. So we have a listing of very famous Balei Tshuva. The first one is Kayin. First one is Adam, rather. First Adam's the first. Kayin's the second. And then it jumps to Reuven and Yehuda in one stanza, and it ends with Ben Omri, who's Achav, and then it goes to the people of Nineveh, the Anshei Nineveh. It's a beautiful piyut, relatively easy to understand. Horeta Derech Tshuva, which we have some Gedalia. So Kayin tells Adam Rishon, "I did Tshuva." Hitchil Adam mitaper al panav v'amar kach. Kahu gadol kocha shel tshuva, v'lo hayiti yodea. Wow, the greatness of tshuva, and I didn't even know. He hits himself on his face. Wow, I didn't even know. Miyad amad adam rishon v'amar mizmor shel yom shabbat. Rav Shimon omer mizmor hazeh adam rishon amro lefi sheba yom shabbat v'naseh sanigor la'adam v'nei hakadosh baruch hu v'amar ribono olamim ribono shel olam v'sheshet yemei ha'maaseh lo ne'harag ish ba'olam ubi ata matchil. Zuhi kedushati v'zuhi birchati v'nutzal adam rishon midina shel gehenom b'zchut ha'shabbat u'kesherah adam kocha shel shabbat yetchil mishorer mizmor shir liyom ha'shabbat. Adam rishon is astonished by what the power of Shabbat is, and that it encompasses the power of tshuva, and hence there's something about the Matzah Shabbos experience of having gone through the experience of Shabbat, which is a very, very strong stimulus for tshuva. And what is it? It's Yom Rishon. And source number 10, there's a Gemara, Masechet Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph, that tells us why they picked in Beit HaMikdash the 7 chapters of Tehillim to be the Shir of the Leviim. What does Perek Kavdalet have to do with Yom Rishon? What does the next Perek have to do with Yom Sheni? And they give a thematic connection between the Perek that we say. Today we said a Yom Ramavib Shabbat. What does Kel Nekomot Hashem? What does that have to do with the creation of the sun and the moon? And so on. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Barishon Mao Yomrim. Lashem Haaretz Umloa. Tevel V'Yoshveva. Al Shem Shekana V'Hikne V'Shalit Bo'olamo. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the boss in this world. This was the creation of the world. Hashem Ha'aretz Lo'ah is a reflection of the first day of creation of Breishit Bara Elokim et Hashamayim et Ha'aretz. So at source number 11, you have the famous Gemara about what this means, Hashem Ha'aretz Lo'ah. Just take a look to the middle where it says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol ha-ne'ene min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, whoever enjoys anything from this world without giving a mentioning in a form of bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, like hamutzi lechem min ha'aretz, like shakol niyeh b'dvaro, kilu ne'ene mikotche shamayim, is as if he benefited from hekdesh of Beit HaMikdash, like stealing from God, shenemar, as it says, l'ashem ha'aretz onoha. But now, the Amora Levi, Rabbi Levi, Rabbi posited as a contradiction. It says, Lashem ha'aretz umlo'ah. God is the master of the world. And it also says in Halil, in Tilim Kuf Kaf Tevav, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, Ve'aretz atan lifnei Adam. The world was given to man. Well, take a pick. Whose is it? Is it God or man? Loi kasha. No problem. Kan kodim bracha, kan la'achar bracha. What do we see from here? The purpose of a bracha is to use the brisk Lamdan vernacular. It's a matir. It allows the person to derive benefit, where Kadosh Baruch Hu transfers the ownership of the world to human hands. And that's a Sunday concern. It's a Yom Rishon concern. Lashem ha'aretz lo'ah. This was what the world was created. And that world and that moment of creation was given to human beings to make choices. And the big choice is to do good or no good, to be in line and sync with HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not. Adam Rishon taught us that we can somehow nurture spirituality of Shabbat after Shabbat on that Yom Rishon and make Ur, make fire, not just fire that's going to build the world, but build spiritual fire as well. And to that end, the Slichot will always begin on Yom Rishon, whether it's Bashmorat HaBoker, whether it's Bachatzot, B'motzei Menucha Ki Damnucha Trila, so that we enter into Rosh Hashanah and understand clearly what Briyat HaOlam is all about. So it's true, we also have our eyes already on Yom Kippur, and that will certainly be taken care of in the Slichot between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but these days of Slichot before Rosh Hashanah are earmarked not only for Yom Kippur, but also to keep our eyes on Rosh Hashanah, so we should understand this. Just yesterday, I had a tremendous, tremendous schud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us many, many schuyot in this country. And we have a woman in my shul who was going through a process of giyur, of bezdin. And if you want to know why I was in favor of the suggestion of setting up an alternate system, it's because my experience in this country with the establishment system is unfortunately so faulty. Having said that, I was witness to something that was actually very beautiful, very moving and very beautiful. A Beit Din of, I walked in there accompanying with the head of Machanayim, which is the Russian Jewish group that prepares people for Giyur, for conversion, the Ulpan Le'olim of Machanayim. So she came and escorted the woman too, and I was there because we had some people in our neighborhood who were the adopting families of this woman, and so on. Just to make sure that things go okay, and I was pleasantly surprised to see a chaver of mine as one of the dayanim. This is Rav Yaakov Vahavtik. I couldn't believe it. He was sitting there. Then I was okay already. Once I saw that, as I always tell people, if you know the right people, who needs protection? You know, like we got to do is know the right people. And this woman was marvelous in responding, because this was like the final exam. And I thought the head of the Beit Din, who happens to be the Rav of the Beit Daniel, a wonderful person, asked sensitive, good questions, lead questions to get her to express herself properly and so on. But I almost flipped when he asked her, so what's Rosh Hashanah? And she looked at him and she said, Yom HaDin.
What?
Yom HaDin. I don't think many, many people would have responded as an immediate answer. The Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. The woman who today, Mirz Hashem, will be part of Am Yisrael, going through the final process of Tfila. But that was such a great answer. I said, go to Yeshiva Tichonit and open that Esther Kasha and see if you're going to get that immediate response, Yom HaDin. Of course, then you know, she went through the Menorgim and this and that, she knew everything. But she knew about Tashlum. But they just immediately answer, Yom HaDin. That's what Slichus is supposed to do before Rosh Hashanah. So we get to Rosh Hashanah, we understand it's Lekei L'Arach Din, L'Vuchem Levavot B'Yom Din, L'Golam U'Kot B'Din, and that whole piyut of what it means B'Yom Din, B'Din of Rosh Hashanah. Shavi B'Met Tivak Tima Tovah, but we'll wish you next week as well. There'll be a share next week.
70 years ago.